Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
Too many.
You brought too many.
1,439. Welcome. As you get ready to sit down and get down for 2+ hours with the brothers and sisters here, as the chefs are in the house serving the buffet at Soul Tree Radio on the Rock. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingham, BJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is great to be with you. Soul Tree Radio on the Rock, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin of the Black Athletes Sports Network. With all the good shit. So who, what, when, where, why, and how. Right now at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Maybe you're Reggie in Richmond, Virginia. The Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Cheryl Jones in Philadelphia. Ricky Hampton Sr. in Detroit, Mike Roberson in Oakland, California, Cap Freeman, the mighty Obar, still doing as Obar do, still hot on the heels of his success with his book, The Art of the Interview, Book 1. It's on Amazon. It is a great read. I recommend it. I know the rest of the brothers do as well, and the rest of the brothers that will be checking in from time to time. But with me, as always, riding shotgun, the bad man from the East Bay. Yeah, we know it's great. What up, G?
Where are the Ohio players at right now? Did it wear fire?
Oh, shit. Uh-oh, fire. Yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
But well, before you burn your ass up,
we got to do this.
Yes.
For almost 2 decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique being, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunched blackathlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN.
Yes, we are. We're not carrying any matches. But yeah, G, you know.
One town disappeared in 35 minutes.
Yeah, no. This is no joke.
Town disappeared in 35 minutes.
I know. And it's not just the States. Canada's having problems like that as well in British Columbia. The town of Lytton burned up. And to the ground, just like that. So there's major problems out in the Pacific Northwest. But we want to go back to that. I want to get an update from Radio Reggie as to what the hell is happening in Virginia Union. Reggie, do you have anything for us, and can you hear us, first of all?
Peace and blessings. We have victory. We have voices of the Africans. God bless the ancestors. All right. And before I get started, gentlemen, a moment of silence for Tim Tebow.
Yes!
They're taking up a fucking roster spot. And some kind of a Facebook answer. So
and Reggie, he got fame in a 3 weeks, too. He got fame in a week.
Hey, you know what? Urban Meyer, first he brings a racist strength condition coach in there. And then he's upset because he can't have a buddy-buddy system with the players. And then he shows his ass by once again with the media talking about, "Hey, can come here and take our fucking stadium over." Man, shut the hell up. That shit don't work.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope he go fucking 0-17. But on a serious tip, everything's pretty much quiet here in the 804 when it comes to Virginia Union, unfortunately, death of a young man from Georgia. And I'm just keeping it 100. These HBCU schools cannot afford a major hit financially. We don't know anything else. The coroner report has not come. And pretty much I'll tell people, if you want to know what's happening, go to Virginia Union Athletic Department webpage. They'll give you all the information right there. And I must say congratulations to the commissioner of the state of Jackie McMillan, has tied a knot, and she's married. I don't know the details of the young man she married, but I'll make sure I have him on. Maybe T-Mac, he comes on, he can tell us, but I will definitely find out. So we're happy for the commission, the CIAA, or probably Professor Wick, when he comes on, he probably will know. But like I said, seriously, you got to remember, Coach Joe Taylor, the Hall of Famer, is on the NCAA selection committee. First time an HBCU coach has been part of that. And they got to walk, they got to walk real softly how they do things here the next couple of weeks. Because the negative attention, we don't know what the main media is going to do. And we know the rat, a.k.a. the mouse, a.k.a. ESPN, will love nothing more than have a scandal come under such a prestigious Hall of Fame coach as Joe Taylor. So you get to wait and see
Reggie,
what goes
has
on.
Anybody, has anybody representing the family or the family themselves come out and said anything in the press?
I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you, Mike. I've really been out of the loop on purpose because I have close ties to the program. And sometimes it's best to stay out of it and let things take its own course.
I got you.
You got to remember, I've been involved with these schools for over 25 years. And I've been very fortunate to have relationships with a lot of schools and coaches, administration, and CIAA. And a lot of those because I've been told things confidential and I've been able to, you know, help people when they want to. So, you know, I have that where I'm going to respect, you know, what's happening. So whatever happens,
All right. We also have our youngster Travis Singleton in the mix. Travis, can you hear us?
Travis!
What's going on?
What's up,
Travis? What is going on?
Hey. Long, long son is come home. Quick, kill the cat. Just have a piece.
I'm always, I'm always available. You know where to find me.
Hey, Mike, and they said in the Bible, kill the biggest heifer we can find. We need to have a feast. The prodigal son is coming home.
I heard that.
I'm always, y'all know where to find me.
Travis, you already know what happened in Virginia Union. You know, we know because of conditions surrounding all of college football, things are different and things must be done differently to protect the assets. And the assets, of course, are the young men and, in some cases, women who are playing money sports for these schools. Now, the fact that this kid died, I'm not hoping it's going to set a damning precedent, but when somebody's died, somebody's got to explain what the fuck happened.
Yeah, it's a sad situation, you know, and the thing is, it's like, I honestly feel like these college students, they just need to be protected a little bit more, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's getting out of control because at the end of the day, it seems as if, you know, certain players get, you know, privileges, whether it be better treatment, whether it be, you know, the money. All of a sudden now, you know, obviously NCAA is lightening up on the money as far as, you know, branding and stuff. Now you can have a sponsorship as a student athlete. But, I mean, these players got to be protected. And the biggest thing is, I mean, it could be a freak accident too, you know, where you know, anything could happen. You know, whether you just, you know, hit your head. All the above. So I feel like compensation has to be allowed for the family as well, because that person or that athlete is putting their body on the line for the good, you know, of the team. And so it's like if the school is getting put on the map with the publicity, you know, then I feel like, you know, they need to be able to compensate and take care of the families as well. It's so sad what happened. But like you said, you know, it can happen to anybody. And you know, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah. It is unfortunate. You know, sadly, we all have to ponder and hope beyond hope that it's not going to get to a level where lawyers are going to have to be called in. But we know lawyers are going to get called in.
Yeah, they
the nature of what happened.
Michael, you know, okay, this is a typical white people do not do anything. They're bored to do it. You know that, right?
That's
and
true.
And to be on paper and pen and to read it to make you understand it. Always.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's always been that case.
Yeah, it's always been that way. Because they've always gone under the illusion that they're amateurs. But no. This ain't amateur bullshit no more. Now it's pay for play. That's what the NIL name, image, and licensing situation has opened the door for. And it's been a long time coming. Nobody wants to see anyone die. But we know for years, athletes, black ones, have been put in nasty situations where their careers are on the line, where they've been pimped out by their eligibility or lack of it. And we've seen some big, dastardly shit done by certain coaches and administrations in some of these schools to deny them the chance to even go forward. Now, they don't make a big noise about it now, but you better believe this has been ongoing. So the odds have been run higher and higher and higher with how college football increased. And then finally, this happened. Now, they can't call it an accidental death because people are more and more aware. We know that the weather is a big factor because you're practicing trying to be Junction Boys 2.0 and the weather is hot as hell and on these artificial fields. Let me remind everybody, they're playing on plastic. I'm not joking when I say this. This shit is plastic. And when the heat gets to a field like that, you can increase the actual temperature by 15 to 20 degrees. You will roast your ass. And, you know, it doesn't matter how well you hydrate, the atmosphere makes you vulnerable. The young man who unfortunately lost his life was 6'2 and 230. So it wasn't like he was supersized like Corey Stringer was when the Minnesota Vikings had that tragic situation where Corey lost his life because of the heat. So what I'm really waiting on, and I'm not trying to be funny, is I'm waiting for the heat to come down because we can't avoid this. They know something happened. They know somebody's going to have to say something. And they know there will likely be legal ramifications around this. So I am sympathetic to what Reggie's saying in that folks are going to have to tiptoe. But I'm sorry. The area is too hot. Somebody is going to step on something, say something, do something. I know that doesn't make for a pleasant atmosphere, but shit, somebody died. That trumps everything.
Well, I think SIU, they're going to do because they were going to put dirt on their football field.
Mm-hmm.
They changed their mind. They had natural grass that year.
Well, you know, all kidding aside, turf really is warmer. I've had a chance to play on both. And I can tell you, I don't like artificial turf. I don't know if any of y'all have, but I can tell you it's a whole different feel. You know, I ran on my toes for the most part all the times I played ball. And you make a cut, you feel the give, it's a whole different feeling. And I don't like to say I was lucky for the most part because speed is one thing it will increase, but speed is also one thing it will jeopardize your health situation in. You can make a cut, a couple people, and take off upfield and stuff like that, but that same cut on artificial turf, if it's under the right conditions, you can break an ankle in a heartbeat. Ain't got nothing to do with making somebody miss. So there's a lot of stuff to examine, you know. I don't think we have people who are specialized agronomists who specialize in putting turf on fields and stuff anymore. And I had an interview once with George Toma, I believe his last name is, who was the guy who put together the fields for the National Football League. But if you know that turf in the long run is going to be damaging, why are you continuing to put it up? Why are you continuing to so-called modify it and make it available? Like, Travis, in basketball, you don't have that kind of issue. But in football, it's got to be a serious issue because somebody will make the argument that, well, if you get this turf field, it'll maybe save us money over the course of 5 to 10 years, blah, 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 in terms of, you know, maintaining it and stuff. But yeah. I don't think anybody's ever done a study to say, if we have turf, artificial that is, it would produce 28% more accents than if we stayed on a grass field. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, when I played in high school, they didn't really take care of the fields as much. And, I mean, this is high school after y'all, obviously. But, I mean, the thing was, we also didn't have the resources, you know, going to high school in the hood that the other schools had, the prep schools and everything like that. So they had the artificial turf. And, yeah, like you said, it's a lot tougher to cut on there for sure. There's a lot more injuries. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, some of these schools don't have those resources. But, you know, in basketball, the only thing I can compare it to with basketball is like a dead spot in the floor or something like that where you know, there's some hollow wood in a player, you know, steps, or maybe even if there's a, you know, there's something on the floor as far as slipping.
Right.
But, you know, some of these schools had, you know, some courts that brothers were actually blowing out of their sneakers, you know, and hurting themselves. So, I mean, you know, so it – every sport has its flaw when it comes to how you're playing, you know. So it all depends on the situation, you know.
Yeah, we got Tony McLean in the mix as well. Tony, you played Lions. I know this is important to you. Yeah, I know you
can feel the difference between.
What's
up, Tony? What's up, hey, Tony? T Mac, what's good?
I can't complain. I mean, so I could,
T-Mac,
but who's gonna listen?
Like I said, T, I know you played Lions. So you tell us. What's the biggest difference between playing on turf and playing on grass?
How you feel afterwards, because after, you know, you're more sore playing on the turf because there's no give now. Because literally, you know, back in the day when turf first came out, you were playing on a carpet, and that carpet was solid ground under it. Now. They've made improvements over the years with the turf now, but look, nothing's like grass, you know, because you don't have to, there's a give, and you know, you're just, you know, look, I use Andre Dawson as the perfect example, you know, those years in Montreal, and when he finally you know, out of Montreal and was able to play in places where they actually used grass, he was able, you know, he didn't have to drain his knees as much. You got to remember, one of the reasons, you know, he took the first year with the Cubs, he was so confident. He said, look, give me a blank check and I'll just play and y'all pay me what you want
he
to pay me
that.
After
That's
I'm
right.
done. And all he did was, you know, have an MVP season for a god-awful. But a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was playing every day, or at least half the days, on grass.
Yep.
I don't think he ever played for another, at least the home games, because I think he might be with the Cubs, the Red Sox. You know, he ended his career with the Marlins when they were at when the Marlins were on their fifth name of Joe Robbie Stadium at the time.
Exactly. And to add to that, the Expos at that time, they had a court that literally was destroyed by artificial turf. They had Warren Cromartie, Ellis Valentine, Tim Raines eventually, and turf ate all of them up one way or another. And Andre was always the constant. So it wasn't a surprise when he went to the Cubs and on grass that he produced like he did. I mean, for a losing team, he did a Steve Clark when he was an MVP because he was so dominant in his performance that everybody had to agree that in spite of what their record was, he was clearly the best player that year in baseball. But
absolutely.
We go back to the turf issue, and I know – some HBCU folks may not want to hear this. And I ain't trying to dig a grave for them, but you know, this is one of yours. This young man, agreed to come to your school. He's your baby. And forget all the other nonsense that the white coach is talking. Oh, I treat him like he's one of mine. Well, he is one of ours. And it's a tragedy that this happened like it did. But you know something's going to happen. And it's best to come to terms with this before the motherfucking mouse or anyone else tries to pimp this thing out and do further damage to the situation at the school or to the person's family. How y'all feel about this?
Well, it's I think what makes this even worse is that, you know, all the conference, all the all the four major HBCU conferences, they shut stuff down early. You know, I know the Ivy League, you know, last year the Ivy League was like the first to just say nope.
Yeah,
but
the Ivy League is way early.
Mm-hmm, but the HBCUs weren't that far behind, and you know, and mm-hmm. even now in coming back, they I don't know the actual numbers of teams, you know, tests or whatever, but there's just a whole lot of put it this way, we talked last week about how the NCAA silence is sort of eerie.
Yes.
Unfortunately, here it's the same situation here with Union, the player kid passed away, right?
Right.
Virginia Union. Yeah. So
right.
The fact that a lot has not been said, that it's literally, I said last week, I'm hoping it's because they're trying to get this right, but
exactly.
You can't help but think that, one, it was COVID-related, and that even with all the precautions and what have you, and remember, you know, a lot of these HBCUs are in these red states where you've got, you know, I mean, I don't even want to call them morons because I think it's I think it's insulting to morons to try to compare some mm-hmm. of these politicians to whatever, but
mm-hmm.
it's a fact, and I like I said, I you know we want to find out not for the morbid reasons. Look, like I said, like you said, Mike, that's one of ours. He's one of our, you know, it's not like that. You know, Warner Brothers line. He's one of our boys. It's beyond that. He is one of our guys. And we want to, you know, we don't want this to happen again. I mean, once is too much. So we just hope that this isn't whatever. But again, I hope at some point that, I mean, if it does wind up being that it was something else and not COVID related, that will also.
Mm-hmm.
As sad as it's still the fact of losing somebody, it would almost be sort of like, well, you know what? Okay, that's a little bit better, not a whole hell of a lot better, but it's a little bit better.
And you know, Reggie, you get the last word on this because you've been closest to the bone on this.
You know, like I said, guys, this is kind of hard on me because
mm-hmm.
you know I'm close to the programs and. In my 25 years of covering sports with T-Mac help, I never really seen a tragedy like this when T, I'm sure you remember the young man from Winston-Salem broke his neck on a football field.
Yeah.
And then not too long after that, you had a young man in Union, matter of fact, playing with some in Winston, broke his neck.
mm-hmm.
And they kind of consoled everybody. Like I say, when you know people personally and you close to the program, it's kind of hard to
mm-hmm.
really, you know, pull yourself away. That's why I say I pretty much done, you know, pull myself away from it. I'm not even talking about it, not covering it. And I'm just saying, well, it just fall, let them fall.
I feel for you, Reggie, and I appreciate you speaking on this. Gentlemen, I want to change subjects quickly. And you may or may not have seen the latest documentary on Netflix, Now It's at the Palace. Now, I saw this a couple of nights ago. Trav, I was mentioning it to you, and I think you saw it as well.
Michael, why would they do something like that?
Well, listen, we got to remember something. Sports, entertainment, anything where they think black people excel will always have the curtain of white supremacy over it. And any time they will use their vehicle to show the worst of us, that's what they will do. As I was watching this documentary, I can only speak for myself. I wondered, first of all, were they going to film the guy who actually started this shit and poured the drink on Ron Artest or Metta World Peace, whatever his name is, when this shit started? They did. And he had the unmitigated, as Tony would say, the unmitigated gall to talk
about what he would do to
Artest if he had him straight up. Now, we know Artest would beat the shit out that boy, but it doesn't matter. You know, I'm gonna fall back on my whiteness anyway. And then there was another guy who I believe was East Asian, Southeast Asian, and he's talking shit about. Well, you know, he was making a punk move when he was on the floor and was gonna confront Steven Jackson. He lucky Jackson didn't kill his ass. And as I'm seeing all of this in between. Never mind the actual act in the game or the effect afterwards, but the amount of invective that came out the media as soon as shit hit fan. I mean, it came from everywhere. And, of course, you know, when it's coming from the CNNs and all the other places that aren't doing sports specifically, it's even more poisonous. Now, Trav, I think you did see it. What did you think about it, and what was your approach? Do you think that it was even-handed, or did they have an agenda?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, at the end of the day, I think it was a little bit of both. I mean, I still remember that day. You know, I didn't get the chance to watch the game because my mom told me to go to bed. But I remember when I came home. I came home from school that next day, and boy, I saw everything and some more. You know, I saw all the suspensions and everything. You know, so I mean. At the end of the day, I mean, the fan was in the wrong, you know, for throwing it in the first place. I had the chance to interview, I guess, Metta or Ron, whatever you want to call him. I had the chance to interview him in March, and we talked about the docuseries and everything like that coming out and everything. And he said that he felt like the referees should have jumped in there a little bit better to kind of calm things down. Because usually the referees, you know, you'll get a tech. You know, they already had one tech, he said.
Right.
So he's like, you know, we're thinking, you know, as soon as we start pushing this stuff, it's either we're going to get a double, you know, once Ben Wallace pushed him, he was thinking he's going to get a double tech, and then they're going to just, you know, leave, and then they're going to get kicked out the game. The game was already over. So he's thinking they're just going to get kicked out the game, yada, yada, yada. But he said, you know, he said even through Ben Wallace throwing a towel and all that and his wristbands at him, he said he was trying to be calm. But the crazy thing was he said that in his peripheral, he knew exactly where that bear came from. He said he knew he was going. I said, I said to him, if, you know, what would Ron Artest do today? Would you still do the same thing? What would you have done differently? You know, I asked him that. He said, honestly, he said it's not even about, you know, the situation of the moment. He was like, you know, he felt like the referee should have had more control. But he said, knowing what he knows today, and how his image was portrayed, he said he probably would have, you know, honed in a little bit. But the thing is, he said that it was more so. I said, well,
this is the thing, both of you guys. I'm in the Oakland Avenue Coliseum game.
Oh, you're the guy.
And these guys get drunk all their butts.
Of course they do.
Oh yeah, we know that, Gary.
Yeah.
Well, that truth there a minute. Ain't no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But he said all them fans would have had them phones now. He said today, if it would happen in today, he said all those fans would have had them phones. We would have knew exactly what happened.
They would have been busted, no doubt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, but, and then that's he said true. On top of that, he said, I said, well, would you have done it? He said, well, the Queensbridge in me, you know, I probably would have got up. You know, my first instinct is to jump.
Well, you know what?
You know what I'm saying? But he also said, name another person. If somebody just threw something at you or spit on you randomly, name one other person from the hood that ain't going to jump, regardless of who
and
it
see,
is, where it is.
That's the X factor that we forget. Now, Ron Artest is from the Queensbridge Projects in New York City. Steven Jackson would be considered hood as well.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie
mm-hmm.
Miller is a guy who came from Cali and conformed to Midwest life, and they were calling him a Hoosier because he had managed to blend in to his area and became a famous player and did work for them for 18 years. But we can't discount that because, again, we're talking about people who have strict codes where
mm-hmm.
someone would give them right or wrong, but strict codes. You don't fuck with me, I don't fuck with you. And
mm-hmm.
Ron Artest was fucked with.
And Mike?
His lying on that bench before he got poured on was predicated by the referees losing control of the game.
Yeah, they lost control.
And see, in this era, I mean, you know, white supremacy has taken different forms, but in regards of the cell phone thing. But see, also, I tend to be more cynical. That beer might have been a knife during this time of year now, or this era, or what have you. Howard Cosell, love him or hate him, his old show back in the day, Sports TV, the one that was on like on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
He talked a lot about the proliferation of fan violence. And to me, that's always still there. You know, you always see, you know, these folks that, you know, run on the field or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always always a drunk white guy, you know.
Send the dog out there. I guarantee they won't do it no more.
My thing is, all you got to do is do a JFK on one of them, and that shit'll stop.
That makes
sense.
See, but you got to look at it like this too. You got to look at it from this standpoint.
But it was a black boy that had done that.
Hold on one second. This postseason, there was a lot of people throwing stuff. Fans were throwing stuff, spitting on players. All this stuff. They ain't getting nothing but a little tap on the wrist. Oh, you're gonna be banned. But at the same time, how do we know they're gonna be banned? You know what I'm saying? They can easily come back.
Exactly. And see, people forget. Remember that official for the Warriors that went after one of the other players? Like, you know,
not only talking about the person that was a stockholder,
They're the only difference between them and those same, you know, ones with the liquid courage in them is that they're more, quote unquote, more sophisticated. Instead of they've got a little more stuff in their grape Kool-Aid than somebody else.
Let's remember, these people come to these places believing that slave mentality, like you niggas are here to perform for us, and as long as you're our niggas, we'll root for you. If you ain't our niggas, we will treat you like niggas.
And Mike, they want you to be like circus animals. They want you to perform until we get tired. Just like the baseball game, the All-Star game, when they ran out of pitches. Remember how they got upset? It was a tie game. They're like, y'all got to keep on performing. We ain't done yet.
That's
keep on performing.
The NFL and the NBA want to pretend it don't happen, but we know it happens. It's so do they. Go ahead, Tony.
Even more so now when you throw in the gambling aspect they're going to think even more. They're going to think even more of how you're supposed to work.
Are you saying, T, that between FanDuel and these crazy ass fantasy programs, that dare I say they might get upset with the athlete that they don't perform like they should? Is that what you're saying?
Give me 2 seconds. One, two. Yes.
Look, they get mad when players get hurt. They get mad when players get hurt. That's nothing.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
How dare you get hurt? I bet on you, nigga. What the fuck is wrong with you? And
exactly.
We know there have been confrontations. We've seen. Listen, I got to apologize, first of all, because I used Donovan Mitchell and said he played for the Utah Stars. I'm in old flat mode, of course, I mean the Utah Jazz.
You got a new team? You starting a new team up?
But having said that, the fact that the fans would think that they could say what the fuck they want, and ironically, Indiana is one of the most racist places in the NBA. Their fans have always been poisoned. And Allen Iverson has always talked that he couldn't stand going to Indiana because of those cocksuckers there. Because it was definitely like, So any other niggas, man, we got a problem with. Yeah.
I'm about to say, it's Utah now, because Westbrook, every time Westbrook went out there, they was calling him a nigger. And then they were throwing stuff at him. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they the fan put his phone in his face and everything after he lost. And was calling him a nigga and stuff like that. So it's like, come on, man.
Yeah. And see, like I said, it's on a higher level now because of the, dare I say it, the MAGA-ness of where the country is now. You know, they think, you know, you again, look, there's always been they've always felt like we have been subservient to them. Whether we be in the media, whether it be athletes or what have you. So they just upped it. So in a sense, I haven't had a chance to see it yet. I will sit down and watch it. But
it was worth it.
Well, yeah. Well, see. Well, look. Netflix, good, bad, or indifferent, they're probably one of the best, if not the best. I mean, that's where your best movies come out of now. You know, you don't need Hollywood. You don't need Hollywood. And, you know, Hollywood needs to close it up down now because there's nothing, you know, there isn't nothing out of Hollywood that Netflix hasn't done and can do better. You know, if you saw the Naomi Osaka thing as well. And again, it's not just sports. You know, there's a great documentary on, the mystery surrounding Sam Cooke. So many other things. There's something on there. There's something on there now.
Earlier this morning, it was excellent.
Matter of fact, if you get a chance, I know it's non-sports, but there's one on the whole Son of Sam thing, and what led up to it, and afterwards. Well, you see, they're able to, you know, again, they're able to take a topic and really, you know, just go into depth with it little bit more. And I think, like I said, I have not seen it. I will see it eventually, but I would gather that it was played up. Now, was it pure documentary or was it more like they were telling a story?
To me, this is pure documentary because I was literally working for Earth Shoes in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And a young lady was hired. Her last name was Placido. And I forget if she was either Judy or Donna. But anyway, Ms. Placido was one of the people who was murdered by the Son of Sam. And the other one was her sister. And she left work after that for obvious reasons.
Understandable.
Yeah. But yes, these things, hardcore, when they hit home like that, you got to wonder. And the Son of Sam thing, if I remember right from the 70s back then, they did not endeavor to work as hard to get to the journalistic of it because they really was into the if it bleeds, it leads need of it. And every night on WABC on Eyewitness News, they would put those names out there and, okay, Son of Sam is doing this, Son of Sam is doing that. They were whoring on Son of Sam. And when they did catch his ass, you know, they ran that shit for a whole day. We got the professor in the mix as well.
It was almost like there was a letdown.
Yeah. Professor, if I can get you into this, because we've talked about this early on, I don't know if you have any updated information for us, but obviously the situation in Virginia Union is on all of our minds and whatnot. What do you have to add to recourse, to discourse, excuse me? And good evening.
Well, good evening. Actually, nothing, because from where I am, we don't get, we're in the lower to mid portion of the state of North Carolina. We're closer to South Carolina than we are Virginia, and then it's another 80 miles or so into Richmond. But I haven't seen any kind of article or anything on the online. I've done searches several times, actually, and there hasn't been anything posted since they announced that he had died, and I think it was like that Sunday or Monday.
And by
that Tuesday, I guess, as they say, since the third day, I haven't heard anything. I've seen nothing about a funeral, seen nothing about cause of death, any of those things. So that's all. I mean, okay, if Reggie's not getting anything, and he's right there in Richmond, so if he's not hearing anything, there's probably nothing going on.
Yeah, and like I said before, gentlemen, and Professor knows this, you know, CIAA, we fuss and fight, but we're a tight group. And Professor, you know yourself, when you get close to these programs, sometimes you got to, I can't separate myself. I'm sorry. It's not a good journalist, whatever. But I have friendships with a lot of people. And
that's
I put my friendship and loyalty in front of anything. Because Professor can tell you, we hear stories off the record that you'd be like, what the hell? But you got to keep them quiet. And sometimes,
it's just like it was when, I think I told you, I did a 20-minute interview with Earl Lloyd one night, and we talked for 2.5 hours. He talked for 2.5 hours. And there were people that he turned me on to. You know, and it's like you know how it is, so-and-so, you want to talk to so-and-so, well, they don't talk, they don't do interviews, and then they walk over, shake hands, and give me, and, you know, introduce, this is my friend Reggie. Okay, Reggie just got a key to the country club, because, you know, he's a good Negro, or whatever you want to call it, but in all honesty, if there was something going on major, I would have no doubts that it would be all over the Virginia papers. It's what, one or two still up there. The CIAA, certain CIAA schools especially would report. After when John Dale don't know, nobody knows. He's a little short white dude, but, you know, he's family.
Yeah.
So, you know, just things like when a young man from the Union got his neck broke at doing a game, suffered a neck injury.
You brought that up. Yeah.
You know, if you weren't on the inner circle that first couple of days, you would have known nothing about. The young man who was from the opposing team, although he was still recuperating.
Right.
But when the young man woke up from his injury, who's sitting in a chair beside his bed but the young man who had gone through the injury a few months earlier?
Right.
And those kind of, you know, that's how family does.
That's
but
true.
At the same time, I don't foresee anything major coming out of this, you know. You can call it he had a heat stroke or whatever, but so far they haven't even announced an actual cause of death.
Right. Right. Well, of course,
when the guy had ankle broke People had done it, didn't know it almost 5 months later it happened.
Well, we know cause of death is going to spark whatever response comes about in all of this. So the coroner thing has got everybody on, you know, the beta breath waiting to see what's going to be said. I just feel bad for the fact that all the schools are going to have to do things different. Even if it's just procedure, it seems peripheral. They're all going to have to do things different on the heels of this. And this is the waiting is the kind of thing that's going to, it's going to hurt everybody, unfortunately. In the midst of all these other schools talking shit and people getting money for their likeness and branding and everything else, you know, this is the one thing Gary talked about 2 years ago. He was dead on it. You know, all of this shit will stop when somebody dies. And now I got to change it to all this shit will stop when somebody prominent dies. They don't think that the HBCUs are worth their time to talk about this or to treat them with respect. If this had happened at a Division I school, oh, God forbid if it happened in the SEC, you know what kind of shit they would say and what kind of hoops they would jump through to protect the story. Now, nobody's going to come out, no one's going to come out front and say, okay, yeah, this is going to be a bad a black eye for us, blah, 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 blah. We know, and I don't want to say sugarcoated to be rude or anything like that, but we know they're going to be in survival mode. And the HBCUs don't need any help when it comes to somebody dogging them out, because I know as we sit here, and Tony, you can back me up with this, just as we sit down and prepare our show and say what's going to be subject matter, you know these motherfuckers are sitting there waiting to see what's going to happen. As soon as word comes out, they will pour their poison and they will disguise it as breaking news. But we already know what it is. Whatever that outcome is, even if it's a positive one, although you can't find any positivity in this, one that will absolve folks, there will always be some poison in this. And what you're saying about family is important. They've got to jump on this and make sure everybody understands the depth of what the fuck happened.
Well, this is why it's incumbent upon all of us here on this thread. Because there's nothing wrong with still, you know, having those feelings, because see, that was going on even long before all of our organizations started. Because there was always that brotherhood and sisterhood that existed within the media. If you know, there's a DVD / tape that I watch once a year just to remind myself of why we do what we do. It's called the Black Press Soldiers Without, you know, Soldiers Without Weapons. And while a lot has changed over the years since that film was put together, the basic premise has never changed. And especially even more, and we all know, I'm sure Bobby Fred and Reggie a little bit more, that there's even more of a brother and sisterhood within the HBCUs. I was lucky enough to be a part of that the years that I was working with Winston, and I've always cherished those memories and those relationships that were brought from there. All the more saying that, even as well, you know, maybe in this instance, maybe the silence is golden in the sense where they just want to cross their I's and, you know, cross their T's and dot their I's before they, you know, come out with some second. Because, you know, for all of us that are going to try to, you know, report this the way it should be, there are going to be some folks that are going to go out of their way to try to exploit this and to try to, you know, there's going to be, you know, folks with a hidden agenda that are going to try to, you know, come after HBCU. Because with a lot of them, the only time that they, you know, they don't feel that any good news comes out of the black community unless it's bad news in their eyes.
That's right. Yeah. Speak, Tony, speak up a little bit because you're coming in a little fuzzy. But
sorry about that. Let me shut up.
Travis, I want to make use of Trav while he's here. Trav, you saw Milwaukee and Phoenix in the finals. Now, I doubt very seriously if a lot of folks thought that that's what was going to be. But what's your overall take on what happened in the series and the state of basketball right now in the COVID situation?
First of all, I just wanted to say what's up, Professor. It was good for the NBA. You know, you got two small markets, you know, two teams that nobody, if you would have told me that was going to be the finals before the season started, I would have, you know, laughed at you. At the end of the day, you know, injuries and COVID got in the way all season. You know what I'm saying? So you couldn't really beat that. But I think it was good for the NBA. It was good for Giannis. It showed that you could stay and re-sign and be able to get it out the mud and win. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to join the super team. So I think that was good for his legacy, because a lot of people have been saying his one ring holds more weight than, you know, a couple of LeBrons and a couple of KDs. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you know, I thought it was real good. He's a people's champ, so I think it's good for the NBA. I'm looking forward to, man, Christmas Day. I'm ready. Lakers and Nets. I'm ready.
Yeah, they made their schedule out. That is impressive.
Yeah, they made the Warriors. Ain't nobody worried about no Warriors, G. Ain't nobody worried about them Warriors. Get out of here.
Them's just fighting words.
Hey, y'all got some promise with that guy Kuminga though. That rookie, he's looking really good right now. He's looking real good. I can't lie.
I gotta say basketball. You got a whole lot of markets where somebody can emerge. That's parody, or at least in theory, it's parody. I can't say it is, but two small markets got in and performed well.
I think it's over with Westbrook joining the Lakers. You get a healthy Anthony Davis back. LeBron, he's motivated. They added a whole bunch of shooters around them now, and then you get a healthy Nets team. I really don't see anybody, you know, getting in the way of those two teams. I think it's gonna be two big markets again.
Oh, you know it will be. We got Westbrook, the brow, and the cat.
Yeah, you right about that.
That's right.
Sounds like a real bad Fox sitcom.
I'm trying to figure out what's Brooklyn's big three. What's their nicknames?
That's a good question.
You got the beard. You got the beard. KD, I mean, easy money. What you got? What was it? Slim Reaper?
Oh, God, no. He doesn't like that name. But, yeah, so you got KD, the Beard, and who else? Kyrie?
And then Kyrie. I love Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Everybody, oh, man, everybody jumped on Kyrie this past year, but I love everything he did.
Kyrie got a lot of noise, cleared out the way. You know, that he will defend himself and made a lot of people back off. And on some of these people who are so-called beat writers, they know they can't get away with that shit with him. And we know that the whole approach toward journalism has changed in sports, especially basketball and football. You can't have those guys coming in there, all women, because some of them come in there talking shit too, like they played. And we know they don't know what the fuck they're talking about, but they come in anyway because they're protected by the byline of whatever organization it is that allows them to walk in. And it's shit like that. That's still a problem with the NBA. The NBA is going to have to deal with this fan violence nonsense, because if Indiana and Utah become hotspots where you're going to hear this shit on a daily basis, I won't say there'll be another Malice at the Palace, but if somebody gets their teeth knocked out because they said or did the wrong thing to a pro player, you know, it'll be one of those Chris Rock. I don't agree with it, but I understand. And I think the NBA
Here's my question. Back during the Malice at the Palace, you had no security. They was throwing trash at the opposing players. And see, this is the part I'm going to talk about. That and Travis, you can help me with this. The damn NBA is so bloodthirsty that they want the damn patrons on top of the damn players. If you even go out of bounds,
yeah.
you can damn five
You're
or
right,
six rows.
Push that. They
yeah,
push
back
them,
at that time,
they pushing that.
Yeah, yeah. Back at that time, they were right on the players, you know. So it's a
they
lot different.
They still
are
on the pay. They still on the court. They still are.
I mean,
yeah.
they push well on the sidelines. Yeah, I'm talking about under the hoop, where the initial foul happened. Like those players, you know, those fans were right there. Now. You know, they're starting to push play, you know, fans back because of the stances and stuff. But I mean, with the mouths and the powers, what I only saw in that whole video, I probably only seen two security guards, if that.
There you go.
And one of them almost got his behind knocked out on the court, so it don't even matter.
Mm-hmm.
Jermaine O'Neal almost moved, knocked his clock out.
I make $9 an hour, man. I ain't paid to do all this.
Yeah,
that's right. They said there were three cops and over 20,000 people in the arena. Three fucking cops. So what do they think
yeah.
was going to happen?
Remind me of Oakland and Pittsburgh and the Azure Stadium. The reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know
and
what?
See, the thing
it's
is,
so
the thing look,
you, went
you don't...
The gangsters got what they lift those to the pot because if they hadn't played that game there, but right on the field, they're telling them, let's get the hell out of here because if we rule otherwise that Fuke would touch that ball first and it really is an incompletion, they will kill
them.
It would have been a ride. Yeah, they really would have been. More than any
no,
time, Al Davis is back. The fact he got screwed by the league.
Let's watch it here. It's close to football season.
But you know, it's the truth. Everything in the league. You have to believe
that call. That was the wrong call, and you know it's the wrong call.
See, next thing you'll be seeing is number 82 caught the ball in the end zone. And the referee said he didn't, so he didn't.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
I ain't trying to start nothing.
And the next thing after that, you'll say, Mr. Harris caught the ball, didn't catch the ball in the air. He caught it picked it up off the ground and ran with it. No, he caught the ball. Because wherever the Raiders were playing that year, they instead of making a tackle, they would put the guy's head, knock the ball up in the air. Harris kicked the ball in the air and went into the end zone.
Ask the question.
And we got the ring to prove that he made it.
They delight in the amazing.
Because.
Oh, hell yeah. But look, we know the referees make or break the game. If the referees do their job, we see excellence manifest itself so a team like the Milwaukee Bucks can get there. But in the National Football League, we know something foul is about.
You see in the NFL. In most sports, realistically, you got to understand, except for right now, because of leadership. Correction, ownership more so than leadership. You have a situation
right.
down there in Texas where you got a jerk. That is a professional jerk, and he's more of a jerk than he is an owner, leader.
That's true.
And all those kinds of things. So, you know, he'd rather spit in the wind and have a spit hit him in the face than to be labeled as wrong.
Okay.
And he is a non-coaching coach and a non leader owner, and he is actually trying to make his franchise a success by doing things that most people in that in that area who are supposedly billionaires or people with a whole heap of thousands, there's certain lines they don't cross.
That's right.
And when you see those lines get crossed, you see things like Donald Trump screwing up a whole league.
That's right.
And then you see, the only thing that helps the NFL is you have enough people there with enough money who can tell Jerry Jones, kiss my rich ass, go sit down and play with your little team, get your overpaid and underperforming team, keep them down there, they're wearing white jerseys at home, white jerseys on the road, because they're spoiled, superstitious assholes, and that's what you're coming up with.
Professor's right in this point that the arc for Jerry Jones is even worse than the one created for Daniel Snyder. Now, we know Snyder bought it for $800 million. He did what he did. Now the franchise is worth $5.5 billion. But Jerry went even further. You know, he bought a whole new stadium.
Professor Bell was waiting to get all that off his chest.
Yeah.
He had it out for him. He's been waiting to say something about Jerry. He said, boy.
Jerry did some Dick Dastardly shit. He built the stadium like he did. He even charges people to stand outside and watch the game, $29. And he does tours.
That's terrible.
I mean, he gets everything he can out of that stadium. And for the Cowboys don't even have to play for him to make money. He's turned it into that. I can't fault him for that.
He's treating it like a commodity. You know, as much as he says he wants to win another Super Bowl,
look, I don't think he does.
Exactly. That's the thing with the NFL. It's basically 32 fiefdoms, and they'll do just in, you know, it's not now. We can always tell the teams that do play to win, and then there's the ones, you know, like Mike has said so much in regards to the Philly, where the only Super Bowl they want to win is the salary cap Super Bowl. Now they pulled the ice cube and, you know, fucked up and won a Super Bowl, but how long did they sustain it? More than half of that team is gone now. Five or ten guys left from that Super Bowl team.
That's right.
But then you have the Detroit Lions and the Bengals and the Browns year after year.
Gary, you missed a year. But go ahead.
in defense of the Browns. Let's keep it 100 here. At least when they changed cities and changed names, they got somewhat productive.
Oh, absolutely.
It didn't last. And it won't last because realistically, in Steeler terms, we beat the Browns four times a year. We beat them in Baltimore. We beat them in Cleveland.
That's right.
Okay. Well, that's right. So the Cleveland situation has stabilized itself. The worst situation in the league, as I see it, is Detroit. Because we know, just like as we're preparing Thanksgiving dinner, Detroit's going to get their ass whipped as we're making the stuffing in the early part of the afternoon. And by the time the dinner's ready, we're ready to sit down and eat, and Detroit's ready to sit down and go to the damn locker room.
And Mike, always make sure they're the first game because they want to get that out the way.
Detroit, are you fucking kidding me? And I'm still shaking my head about the jersey. I don't know what kind of color Honolulu blue is, but they need to say aloha that shit because the Lions don't strike any fear in anybody.
Don't y'all understand they lose so they can eat the fresh turkey that's ready after their game when they bring it on the field? the turkey is still cooked. It's ready to go out the oven by the time they lose.
But see, Trav, Trav, see, the only problem is some of them brothers are eating in the middle of the play. That's the problem.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, by halftime, them jokers have a full stomach and out there trying to do man-to-man and all that other stuff.
And they get the money.
Start giving birth to them babies, right, G?
Yeah, really.
Hey, that's why they got Jared Goff, because he's a lot slimmer than Matthew Stafford. So they trying
there
to
you
fix
go.
Things up.
There you go.
Mike, other than
Happy Thanksgiving, the word that's heard the most in the Ford Field on Thanksgiving Day is, would you please stop farting?
Fart in another direction.
Oh, exactly. You'll fart toward Ypsilanti.
But remember, to their credit, the Lions did get themselves a new stadium after a Super Bowl. They got them a new stadium.
And then they
were able to ship Matthew Stafford off on somebody who was just as stupid as they were.
Well, you know it's bad when Barry don't even want to show up. Don't put me on camera.
That's exactly right. But now let's realize that every NFL franchise is worth over $1 billion. Even the most moribund franchise, Detroit's team, is worth over $1 billion. And Dallas is worth $6.5 billion. You know? So we know that the money base that the National Football League established because of their ability to make their product glamorous, no matter how good or how bad it is in whatever market, is what makes it go. We know when they sign that TV contract, there's going to be games on TV. Last season was the first season where there was a game on every day of the week because they made sure that part of the agreement was taken care of. And nobody complained. Nobody said shit. But now they'll be
and
four
nobody
picks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now
all, that, all changes, that all changes this year, though.
That's right. Listen, there's a forfeit situation. What do you think people are going to do? Never mind having the beer and the sandwich. They're going to bet. People are betting now. And they're going to be betting even more this year. So how do you balance all of that and try to say that the game is legit when you know daggone well there's going to be some dick dastardly shit going on as people are setting up logarithms in Las Vegas trying to decide odds? We already know college football is going to be crazy, but pro money is going to be different because of prop bets. So if Travis decides that his Patriots are going to be playing against the Jets, he can sit there while he's rooting for the Patriots and say, I think Cam Newton's going to score on a quarterback sneak before anybody. The odds are 5-1 that he'll do that. All right. Or maybe he'll say they'll throw a bomb to Nelson Aguilar or some shit like that, and the odds there will be 12-1. Everybody's going to be playing the board. And FanDuel and DraftKings, they're not even hiding the shame. I see it at the racetracks. Now they even got racing into it. They even have racing on the boards. They're using tracks like Canterbury and Minnesota and Fairview, whatever the name of the track is in the Pennsylvania area. They're even betting them with them endorsing it. This is altogether different. Nobody expected FanDuel and DraftKings to go this far, but somebody gave them a line, and they've used it, and they've pulled their way into this mess. So I'm saying that this whole situation is ripe for sabotage. Somebody's going to fuck up a game or fix a game or be involved in something that will not look all that great.
Michael, I watched the 49er game.
Yes.
And there is an ad at the bottom of the TV screen with a brand new address at the bottom of the TV screen. Get out of here!
No question.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
You saw it in baseball.
I think they're saving all their graphics and all, you know, Now, you know, now if you keep it, now if you're like me and you watch the game with the sound down, you know, you can sort of drown out something, you know, some of the extra drama. But unfortunately, physically, you're going to see whatever. It's because, again, I think what's going to happen in a lot of instances, it's going to be like a 3-hour infomercial on gambling with a little football sprinkled in between.
That's why they promote the whatchamacallit, the NFL red zone. Because
that's why the red zone's being pushed like that because
people don't have the tolerance no more. They just want to see when their players score a touchdown for fantasy.
And Travis, like by the second year, now they have a fantasy version of the red zone where they where you basically got these talking. The only thing missing is the burping and the farting of all the, with them eating beer and wings and all that other stuff. But it's the same. It's the same concept. It's like now, see. The sad thing is, for some of us older folks here, we still like to sort of watch the game. I mean, you know, I get it with the red zone. I mean, it is what it is. But with some of us that actually, on a given Sunday, whether it's our favorite team or something else, we actually don't mind sitting down for say maybe 2 hours or so to actually watch the damn game. And but see, those folks now, they're not even trying to appeal to them now.
They're going straight to the red zone.
Red zone's going to generate more money being bet than anything, because with prop bets, you don't have to make several bets. You just have to make the bet. Now, thank God Tim Tebow's ass is out, because I know one of the prop bets that would have been in effect is the odds of Tim Tebow catching a touchdown pass from Trevor Lawrence for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now his ass is gone. You don't have to worry about that, at least not right now.
Mike, thankfully, not just his ass, his whole body is will not be in a football uniform.
Look, man. At the end of the day, Tim Tebow couldn't block a kindergartner coming at him. Okay? At the end of the day, he couldn't do nothing.
But see, I guess either coach found those pictures of him with farm animals and shit to able to let him go. But the long and short of it is, they would have bet the house on him catching the first score that Jacksonville would have scored. They would have put Tebow in just for that play, just like they did in Florida where he stole Chris Link's thunder. They would have ran him into the end zone. Everybody and their mama would have been betting on that. And I still don't know whether he's really gone yet, because they may bring him back at the last minute.
Mike, the reason why I think he's definitely gone is because they cut. I mean, he was one of the first cuts. I thought that they were going to drag this out like they do the tarp in a rain delay, but they didn't. They just said, enough now. And for all the what could have been felonious thinking, he got rid of him. He got him out the way quick.
I wish Jacksonville was on Hard Knocks so they could have showed him getting fired instead of showing us brothers getting fired all the time.
Oh, that would have been a good one. I like the idea of that, but you know, assholery is being committed in the NFL as we speak.
I'm not even gonna call Mr. Webster for that. He should know that.
But there is one elephant, mastodon, woolly mammoth, whatever you want to call it, in the room, and that's gambling. No matter what they say, gambling will be at the heart of this. Now, in soccer, we know FIFA referees have been put up against it. Some admitted to scamming and other stuff like that. Basketball, we had Tim Donaghy, supposedly a one-man crime wave, wink, wink. But we know that that's not true either. The NFL has never, knocking wood, had a scandal of that degree. Not yet. So,
you sure?
Again,
hold on, Mike. You sure? Remember them bad little refs that they had in there, them union refs? I know they were making some money off them bad calls.
I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, but you know.
Man, that Hail Mary with Green Bay and Seattle was the worst call I ever seen in my life. I know they had money on that.
Well, I love that call. That was great. I love that call. But, yes, you're right. The referees who make at least $200,000 a year are going to be tested with supposedly maintaining the legitimacy of the sport. Now, we've seen some rotten fucking calls, and we'll probably see some more. But because gambling is now all immersed in this, are we going to actually see do-overs like we saw with the Rams and the Saints? I don't think so. Matter of fact, I think it's going to be even worse. It'll be a one-time thing, and they will not bring it up again. What do you guys think?
Oh, it's about a win.
Okay, first and foremost, let me repeat. Mr. Renfro, the referee said he did not catch the ball. He didn't catch it.
Man, please. Get out of here, Professor.
But having said that, you know, what as we have watched games since then, when the replay was not being used, we have watched games where the high-tech digital replays are being used, so you don't have to wait to roll the film backwards and all that kind of stuff.
And they still fuck it up.
Dial back in it and it pops up.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. That's right.
We have seen challenges of that. Like you go, huh? Really? We've seen where the referees in the last 2 minutes of the half take over, and you go, which angle were they watching? Because we just saw what we saw. But then it's like police beatings. You don't really see. You're not supposed to believe what you see as reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And because of that, you know, we've said it here numerous times. We live in a society now that is so permeated with false thinking and don't believe what you see, believe what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see is what we tell you you see.
Exactly.
And as you all know, I watch a lot of Steelers games, and I only watch the ones where the Steelers win.
But you ain't watched too often. Last season, you ain't watched too much.
Anyway, I mean, there's one game where the bus is running towards the end zone. He gets hit on the shoulder, and about 2 yards out, he goes down to the side. He does not go over. He doesn't bulldoze the guy because when the guy hit him, somebody's hitting his feet, so he's tripping, and he's heading to the ground. But referee comes running up. There's a big pile up. Referee comes running up with his hands up. The referee comes running up from the other side. Like, what? But then all of a sudden, his hands go up. Now, when we see, when we see the replay, confirms they said, except for one thing. Ball never reached the goal line. There's a certain reception by a tight end, number 83. He catches the ball with his feet in the end zone. The ball never crosses the goal line. The ball never touches the goal line because now his feet are in the end zone. His head and upper body are outside the end zone, and he's getting wet. Now,
okay.
I sit there and I watch that, and I did what they said. Don't believe what you see. Believe what we tell you. Oh, great catch. You know, and see, it sounds like watching the Olympics. How many times during the Olympics did you hear amazing, outstanding?
How about that? Yeah.
And the catch-all, greatest ever, greatest of all time.
Yep. Yep.
How many times did we see and hear that? And see, this is how much the talking heads have taken over the game. And this didn't just happen. It's just that back in the day, typically you had somebody in the box who knew what the hell they were talking about.
That's true.
Now,
that's true.
Now it's more, can they say it loud enough and fast enough so you don't really hear what they're saying, but you heard most of what you heard enough to go along with what their plan is? Because, I mean, the guy that was the first Super Bowl quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. I always kind of liked him and a few others. Pat Summerall. I mean, I never liked John Madden. When the biggest word in your vocabulary is boom, my mama didn't teach me to listen to people like that.
Well, you know what, Fred, you bring up a great point. Do announcers talk too much? I'm asking everybody on the thread because we've all seen a lot of football. Do announcers now talk too damn much?
And
Mike, let me throw this in. If you truly listen to the announcers, you can tell what the fix is because certain people throw perfect passes every time. Now,
you're right about that.
Again, going back to watching certain games, I remember a perfect pass from Terry Bradshaw to Lynn Swann. It was a perfect pass, except for one thing. It was a crossing pattern deep. It was so high that it was not going to get to John Stallworth. Correct. It was supposed to go to John Stallworth. And the only reason Swann caught the ball was he had to go up in the air and catch it 10 yards further downfield because it was still that high. And if he hadn't been taking ballet, he would have never touched the ball. But you know, but the talking heads, what did they say? Oh, that was a perfect pass. And you know, even more
Bradshaw's mistake.
Please. I have talked to people who played back then, and those last two Super Bowls, they should have never been there because of the mistake. I mean, they graded out real low both of those years. And remember, by the time they went to that second, the third and the fourth one, you got guys 30 years old running the ball.
That's true.
So think about
that's
it.
True.
One of them is missing part of a foot.
Well, you know what? The market does make a difference. Like, Travis, you're in New England. Is that guy Gil Santos still there calling Patriot games?
I think he finally resigned, didn't he?
I think he resigned
about 4 or 5 years ago.
All right, so listening to a Patriots game now, who are you listening to when they're on TV?
I'm like Professor Fred. I ain't listening to nothing. I'm listening to some music or something like that. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't want to hear nobody bashing Cam Newton. Now, when Tom Brady was there, they were praising my team the whole time. But now I feel like we up against all odds.
Interesting.
I'm going to say one thing and I'm going to leave this alone. It's crazy how nobody was talking about Cam Newton when he was in the MVP discussion. Then he get COVID and come back and everybody started talking about how bad he was playing. But nobody talked about him before when he was those first four or five games.
I like that.
Y'all watch out for what my boy's gonna do this year.
If they don't take the job away from him,
it's his job. He's under contract for 1 year.
There will be a ticket fine getting tickets for the Super Bowl. But go ahead.
Look, my thing is, I think they're gonna let him play. you know, I think they'll play, let him play out the year, let Mac Jones learn under him, and then they probably won't sign him back next year unless he does something crazy. Other than that, I think he'll be the starter the whole season, unless he gets hurt or something like that.
Gary, what about you and the Raiders? They've relocated, but on the same crew doing games.
Well, it's really weird because they have a new broadcasting crew.
Okay.
I'm not like it, so I don't know who these guys are broadcasting game now.
We don't either. They're still relevant.
Because the broadcasting crew opened, they fired them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think from a national standpoint, Fred's on it when he's talking about people like Summerall and Brookshire when they called the game, or back in the old AFL with Kurt Gowdy and Albie Regattas. They gave you a sense of teaching and little things. So even during the game, stuff that may not be all that important to a lay fan, they reminded them of it, and the game was a better listen because of it. Now, I don't
think
we see that.
What do y'all think about Tony Romo?
You know what? He's not bad.
Tony Romo, he was as a quarterback.
Exactly.
He sucked.
I think that's an accurate statement. Far better. But because of that, the NFL has to realize that's part of the sell, too. I mean, we heard Summerall, and he was on point every time he did what he did. And Fred is right. Sometimes with somebody like Mr. Oakland, you know, sometimes they didn't want to hear boom and some of this other shit, you know. It's kind of like Dick Vitale's Dipsy Doo Dunkaroo bullshit. So, yes, we want to hear some consistency, maybe a little bit of knowledge. If it's a national broadcast,
but no,
I don't
want to
hear Jack
about.
Buck or Joe Buck. I can't stand his ass.
He's so boring.
Yeah.
And when he's up there with the former quarterback from the team in Texas, who is always perceived as so smart, and the only excuse you can give for him going to Oklahoma was he was a dumbass 18-year-old who made that decision.
Oh, Lord. Yes. Yes, but even he's turned into a competent announcer. You know, now, Tony, I know you have to listen to these guys all along as part of your job. If you have to actually sit back and monitor games and say, these guys are rated number one, who would be your number one listen?
See, I watch so many games with the sound down.
You know
who would be the guy I would love to see do NFL, but they probably will never let him do it. Roy Johnson.
Yeah,
I'd love to do. He does, you know. He basically does the Fox, like the big game for Fox. College-wise, but yeah, I always liked him as an announcer. But see, I'm probably the wrong person to ask. See, growing up, I was the guy that made sure I watched the pregame shows, the postgame shows, the halftime shows, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I literally about 15 years ago, I literally stopped doing the pre and postgame shows because I don't mean to be arrogant when I say this. They're not telling me anything I don't already know. You know,
you're right.
I can watch the game. I think all of us here on the thread can watch their favorite sport and don't necessarily need a pre or post game or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the ones, like for basketball, I like Doris Burke. I think Doris Burke can do college ball. I think he can do NBA. I would much rather hear her than Woody Allen's more boring cousin, Jeff Van Gundy. Because Jeff Van Gundy goes, I mean, put it this way, when it's Breen, Mark Jackson, and him, I'd rather watch Fly as fuck. I'll just leave it at that, because it's just they bring absolutely nothing to the game.
Do you believe that the NFL has become so arrogant is that they don't care who's on the mic?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. You get this group of guys who are former players,
mm-hmm.
and they're experts. Okay, they're and see, it's reached a point now where they're all Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
And when you look at the fact, okay, you used to have Shannon Sharp, now you have the guy from Texas Southern who played for the Giants for all those years.
Mike Strahan.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a big difference from a Strahan with his college education.
Yeah.
At least Howie Long, in spite of the fact he played for the Raiders all them years, he has a smugness that I don't like.
Uh-huh.
Terry was crazy when he played, and he's still crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He just makes money off of it. He's learned to make money off of it.
Okay.
And Gonzalez, I don't see why we need him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the goofball of all, the guy who stands over by the charts.
Yep.
We don't need him either. But I would rather have, you know, I could take a solid discussion, offense, defense, when it comes to, you know, why do you need two defensive linemen? There's no defensive back as a rule.
Exactly.
And you said who would I like to see doing the games?
Mm-hmm.
The guy from Howard Johnson. I think his last
yep.
name is Gus Johnson.
She does
ESPN college games, but the young lady from Florida A&M is off the chart. Not Pam. But there's a lady.
I know
who does,
you're talking about. Yeah, I know you're talking about. She does the games with
Walker.
With Jack Walker.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
right. New blood. We like
Rick
her.
Rick Walker.
You can tell. You know, I never really watched her that closely until
mm-hmm.
spring football, when I actually watched the game. And she knew
yeah.
that she was so well prepared that she had information on guys who hadn't played
mm-hmm.
last year.
Yes.
And she knew, I mean, like I say, she prepared. And see, I've
mm-hmm.
been around some of those young people when they were doing when they did the CIAA. And they would
mm-hmm.
bring these different ones in, and we would go, you know, because I sat in briefings with some of them, and you know they would see some of them would tell you what we're going to talk about this one, and then it was like one guy when they asked me why was I there, and my reply was I'm here either help you avoid mistakes or help you suffer from them. What do you mean by
exactly?
Because
this?
There are things about HBC you don't know, and they're not written in every book. But then
that's right.
That's what I'm doing.
It comes down to knowing their subject matter, regardless of whether it's HBCU, Division I, SEC, ABC, whatever alphabet that's in the mix. If you don't know what you're talking about, everybody will know, and they will expose you.
And see, the good thing is there are more and more coming in the pipeline. I wish
mm-hmm.
our schools and this whole streaming thing, you know, I love Stan Luter and whoever the white guy they dredge up to work with him.
Right.
But I still believe there is a market for young people who are mass communications majors at
mm-hmm.
HBCU. There is a place for them to learn. That's what I that we used to work at Winston.
Mm-hmm.
He was very good at bringing young people along. Tali Carr was one of his understudies.
Yes.
And for a minute, Stephen Gaither was one of his understudies. And he, you know, I mean, and he was, he made sure they were, did all the prep for their games, like they, you know, it's like basically forget that this guy lives down the hall from you. You need to know him. You need to know him. From, you know, because you never know when that 95th player on the team might, who is not just a walk on, he's paying his way to stay on the team. His mom and dad, you know, that kind of stuff. Get to know him too.
Yeah.
And those and it pays off. I say, you know, because I was asked about competing some nonsense about competing with game day. So we don't compete, we do different things. First of all, we don't compete, we do different things. And they know that any information that I have that they want, they can get. I say, well, first, but you are really competing. I said, you know what? Those two guys, Polly and Steve, are we call, you know, for me, those are young Rams. I'm like a father figure to them. Because I'm only going to do this a few more years, and I'm going to totally turn it over to them, just like Mr. Moore did to me and right on down the line. I said, you know, they know. I said, you know, but I said the biggest thing is we know that we carry each because we're small, 1, 2, and 3 person operations. I said we have a network, but that network has been working for 20 plus years. They just going into it. And they're building, they're building their legacy on the legacy of other guys like Bill, and you know, and going all the way back to guys from way back, you know, Mr. Nash and all those kind of people. They know, I said, you know, one of the things we've always, in our own way, pushed forward was, okay, know your elders, know your elders, and then know your place is the way blacks always start. And I said, and it works perfect. I said, you know, if. I remember seeing film of Eddie Robinson paid homage to Jay Gaither. You know, I've seen people, you know, pay homage to Jay Gaither who know that he was looked up to by people like Chris Rock. And then they look up to Chris Rock. And see, this is where if he's not careful, this is the kind of thing that will make or break Sanders. Because the minute he forgets the elders who built the swag that he talks so much about, you know, the minute he forgets them, he's screwed.
Yeah, he got problems there for sure. And I know they want to beat him, not just for beating Team Able with Team B, but they're going to try to teach him a lesson. We got Patrick Farrar in the mix as well. Patrick, can you hear us?
Live and living color myself, fellas.
Yes, how are you? So, we know in a couple of weeks, and Tony and I had talked about this early, that there's going to be big money games on the line. I don't just mean a couple of dollars here and a couple of dollars there. We're talking about million-dollar swings. And I'm being facetious when I say million dollars because it's probably going to be a lot more. We got Georgia and Clemson going to play each other. And we know whoever loses, they go to the back of the line. But, Patrick, you were telling me one thing that I think everybody needs to know. Who's dropping on them?
Concerning the betting on?
Yep.
Oh yeah. If you go to your local newsstand, this never happens. Get a copy of the Sports Illustrated. They dedicated almost an entire magazine to betting on what's going to happen, how betting is going to work. They've never done that before. I mean, never. They might give you an article, but not explicitly like they have shown with the one I got. I'm still just reading it. Again, there'll be gems of information that'll be dropped in that bad boy in ways that, you know, that we haven't thought about. But it's ironically that they've done this, but they know what's coming. They know what's already here, what's already been established. And there'll be money dropped on all kinds of football. No matter what conference that you're in, from from Portland State to Penn State. Money's going to be bet on in ways that we've never seen before.
This is scary.
Biggest season ever, as they keep saying, and it ain't just about on the field.
Thank you. And don't be surprised that you see people that particularly have betting interest in lines to where they know that they can even the odds and betting on HBCU schools as opposed to bigger ones. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact that betting on at a small percentage gives you a better chance to win. They know
margin
of errors are much larger.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be surprised. Also, don't be surprised what I've been already told by people in marketing. I'm talking to one of my guys I work with, Ron Jett, who's a professor out in Pennsylvania, that don't be surprised that you see a major entity attached to an HBCU school this season. That's all you tell me.
Cool.
There will be syndicates. There will be betting. And that a magazine like Sports Illustrated would have the gall to tell you that this is going to happen is at the heart of this. Nobody's pretending anymore. The bloom is definitely off the rose with all this bullshit. People are going to bet. And the people who are bitten by the gambling bug, they will be signing away their house, their draws, whatever they get their hands on, if they get caught up. And they're going to be asking for help, dial 1-800-GAMBLER. They're going to be too busy taking your damn money. At least back in the days of OTB, they would say, bet with your head, not over. Okay, to remind you, if you can only afford that $5 bet, make that $5 bet. Don't be in there trying to get the rent because people will.
Somebody big is in trouble. What I mean is somebody like a politician or an individual.
Yep.
When he gets in trouble, oh, now we gotta deal with this.
Mike, I want to give all of our listeners and the folks here on the thread a homework assignment. I think that before the season starts this year, you need to go either rent it out or go watch The Gambler. I'm not talking about that Marky Mark piece of shit. I'm talking about
James Caan
one.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Just. I think everybody needs to watch that movie just once, just before the season gets started and what have you.
Uh-huh.
And it will give you an idea of what the hell is going on.
And
Tony amplified by the fact that now they have NILs.
Well, see, there's so many different factors. There's the internet. There's the NIL. There's the more games. There's the more information that's out there. There's more states where you can go, bet. It used to be back in the day. It used to be back in the day, the old blackout rule. There's an episode of the Bob Newhart show where Bob and his buddy, who live in Chicago, go to some godforsaken place in across the state so they can watch the Bears game because the Bears game is blacked out. And personally, that blackout rule should have been killed years ago. I don't know why they still do that.
Very interesting up here in the Bay Area because the Raiders have two home this year, Oakland and L.A.
Mm-hmm.
When the Niners are playing at home, guess what? You can't get a Raiders game.
But it won't matter because as long as you can bet on a Raiders game, that's ultimately what they're going to care about. You know, think about 25 years ago, all of us on this grid, for the most part, our specialty was the draft. We got the draft books, we were watching tapes, we did all of that shit. So when we came in to the big draft, we were prepared. We had an idea of who was going to do what to whom and who could do what to whom in terms of aptitude. But now, all that's gone. Fantasy football. Fantasy this, fantasy that, generating false income, but still generating action. And now you can bet? Are you kidding me?
Mike, what is so maddening for me is when I go, I mean, I went to like about 3-4 Barnes and Noble. All I want is a pro football yearbook.
That's right.
It basically has the team
rosters
and everything like that. But when you go to the newsstand now, there is no Sporting News yearbook. There is no Pro Football Weekly yearbook. Every goddamn football book in there
is fantasy.
Now, I've told you, sports fantasy to me is me, a deserted island, Jill Scott, and the Williams sisters. And you just, that's sports fantasy for me, as far as I'm concerned. That's the greedy bastard in me, Patrick. See, I didn't mention anything about a life supply of Cool Whip either, too. But that's a whole other as well. But if it wasn't for the fact that I still get the record and fact book from the league every year, I literally would not have a book that has the rosters and the rookies and all the information, statistical and everything else. I think Athlon still does one now. Even with college ball,
I got mine.
Does Pro Football Weekly still do a yearbook or not? Because I haven't seen
one. They don't do it. It was gone already.
Tony, your points, well taken. If you didn't get Phil's book,
Week
of July,
it's gone because
how detail is. I ordered the one for the pro one. I haven't got it back yet.
I think he does the pro stuff just online. I think which I hate because I mean, look, I got a computer. Everybody in their mama's got. But I like to have that sucker in my hand. While I'm watching the game and I need to look up something because you know we're bringing back the field generals and Gary has sort of gotten off to a start with that as well.
Yes.
You know, sort of giving whatever. But hey, don't break your arm, pat yourself in the back. easy. But that being said, especially you know. That's gonna, you know, we focused on it last year, and we're gonna try to expand it a little bit more this year, because you know now last year there were 11 on opening day, there were 11 black starting quarterbacks on opening day last year, and there's a small possibility you may get either 11 or possibly 12. A lot it depends. A lot's going to depend on what happens in Tampa, what happens in Chicago, whether Lamar is going to get a vaccine or not, and everything else. So that's a whole other story in and of itself.
How about
but
that?
there's at least 7 incumbents from last year that are coming, you know, Russell and the Mahomes, Jalen Hurts starts
Jackson,
the whole season.
Jackson,
Murray, you know, more. Yeah, you know. So the incumbents, you know, it's already there, right? See, I get the feeling if things play out the way it is, you could get possibly 12 or 13 before the season is done. But we'll see. But again, the NFL has got to recognize, Mike, you say it every week, the world and the sports world is getting darker.
Getting darker.
It's getting darker every day. And if you still want to see the light, you know, that's fine, because you see how they're trying to bum rush Cam down in down in Foxborough, and
I was just talking about that.
Yeah. But see, to me, that's the one thing that's keeping me watching the NFL this year, because I've you know, the style of play to me is still just it's a little too much passing. I mean, I like the passing game, but when you're using the pass to set up the run, football is about running the ball, especially you cold weather teams that want to throw the ball 40, 50 times a year. The reason why you always get knocked out in the first round is because you can't run the ball.
To raise your point, statistically, Tennessee moved up in terms of merchandising because of their style of play. For the last two seasons, they're among the top 10 now in merchandising because they run the fucking ball. And in the world of gambling, that's even more important. And I don't want to just dismiss what Patrick is saying, because Sports Illustrated had to sit down with their editorial board, just like we sit down, and then say, you know what? We're going to make this a betting issue. Now, for years, the NFL was like, oh, no, you can't talk about gambling. You know, you lying motherfuckers, pious bastards. They know damn well this shit is about gambling. They know damn well all of this is about money, money, money. So now they don't even hide it anymore. They're going to tell you up front and tell you, we're going to show you how to bet. Because you know people are going to buy that magazine and read those articles. We know this.
Mike, and see, this hasn't been a gradual sort of thing, because
no.
A few years back, I want to say it's maybe like 15, 20 years ago. I'm on the NFL's mailing list. Don't say that too loud, because they may come and confiscate my book. But, you know, I'll worry about that later. But the thing is, a few years back, they sent out to all the people on their media mailing list a book. It says the NFL, the National Football League's version of fantasy football. It was the National Football League's guide to fantasy football. And I said,
there you go.
The devil has come home, because when they could see before, they always, so like you said, they always play footsie with it. You know, they put Jimmy the Greek out there, but it was always for entertainment. It was always for entertainment purposes. But now it's all full bore, and it's shameless. It's so shameless that Pete Rose is betting on whether he's going to kick his dog in the first inning or the second inning now. That's how bad it is.
Keep this in mind. Guys, keep this in mind. As of starting next week, here's a bet that you can take. Which one they have more commercials of? McDonald's or betting institutions? DraftKings.
Oh, my God. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Put it this way.
They're loving it.
Mike, I'll answer this question. Ronald, sit the hell down.
Take your wig.
Take that stupid ass wig off. Take that rouge out of your face. By the way, play the over.
That's right. Play the over. So your programming on a football Sunday will be between you sitting down, eating a sandwich, and watching the game, is you're going to get a commercial from FanDuel or DraftKings. You're going to get a commercial from the Armed Forces. They're hypocritical bullshit. You're going to get a commercial from McDonald's. And they'll give you 30 seconds in between for a local restaurant or somebody in your zone. Other than that, you're going to see one of those four. If there's anything else, it'll probably be a bullet from somewhere.
You'll probably see some skinny-breasted woman standing next to a car, too, but that's a whole other story.
There you go.
Mike, starting next Thursday, it happens.
Uh-huh.
Mm. because you know, but that game's on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Saturday and Sunday.
That's right.
It starts with the college games. It goes to starting next Thursday. It'll start running. That's when it starts. No more ways than Sundays or Fridays.
So now you've got the full endorsement regarding betting. Who do you think or what do you think will take in more money, everybody on the thread, betting on a college game or betting on a pro game?
That's a good question.
Only because there's more games, I'm going to say college. It's about action. And see, the NFL is regimented. Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and Monday night. You get the odd Thursday games for Thanksgiving Day games, and late in the year, you get a couple of those Saturday extravaganzas between Jacksonville and whoever the hell else wants to show up in London. But it's regiment. But see, college, they play on Wednesdays, they play on Thursdays, they play on Fridays, they play on Saturdays. And early part of the season, they're going to be playing on some Sundays. So
that's true.
It's about action. And later in the year, aren't there some of those smaller mid-majors that play on Tuesday nights as well?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. There will be football every day during the week. There will be. Mm-hmm. And we got to go above the border. In Canada, they'll do the same thing because now they can bet on single games. Now, CFL may not generate much action down here, but there will be people betting on Canadian football. There will be people betting on Canadian college football. I don't know. Simon Fraser and the University of BC and other schools like that, Concordia. We don't know whether they do that, but if they can bet on separate games, we're going to have incidents where people will try to syndicate on a game. And what I mean by that, say all of us here, we have $500.
Dump the money.
Dump the money, exactly. Dump the money on one game, and it can be a pretty much nondescript one, but we hit that. We good. Now, we don't expect Howard to pull another upset like they did, but you better believe that spirit is in the air, and the upset is in the air, and people are going to go syndicate.
And Mike, they ain't got the win. All they got to do is
go. That's right. They don't have to.
Just scare the bejesus out of them, and that'll be
enough. Yes, indeed.
Watch how the odd boards change. Everything has changed now. They're not going to have crazy-ass situations where somebody's a 45-point underdog or something like that. The odds are going to tighten up. That's what they spend all year.
Appalachian State and Michigan score.
Mike, you'll see the opening scene of The Last Boy Scout before you see that happen again.
Oh, fuck it. And shoot a motherfucker in the end zone. You better believe it.
Hey, no, unfortunately, that's not too far-fetched with some of these people.
Really?
When they bet.
Really? This way, Mike, I've already got a name for it. It's the "I wish a motherfucker would bet." In that
oh, shit.
Yep.
That's me.
Yep. And that's why I'm interested to see if the presence of specifically some HBEs, I think there will be one. A president of an HBCU school will get creative because money makes people do strange things.
There has to be. Exactly. There has to be.
That attaches themselves to some kind of a gambling revenue-generating entity that will shock the entire area
That's
of
right.
HBCU sports. It's coming.
That's exactly right.
I hope
gambling,
so. I surely hope
gambling,
so. I surely hope so.
Gambling has so affected everything that they can't keep an eye on everything. And I know, just like in horse racing where the owners and the trainers and the grooms can all bet on a horse, We're going to see shit like that in the game. Somebody's going to do their due diligence and do their research, and mm-hmm. that bet will drop. And when that bet drops, it will only be mm-hmm. a blip on the radar because it won't be huge money. It won't be whale money like seven figures dropped on it unless everybody's pulling money together. Yeah, because it's going to have to be. That's what's going to happen. And we know it's not if but when a scandal is going to happen. And I'm feeling that there's going to be a betting scandal in college and the pros because it's just too much fucking money.
I think Mike, it might happen for college football. Gambling fantasy mm-hmm. kind of buffers a lot of that because
yes.
of the fact that
exactly.
there's so
yeah.
many platforms and levels in which that can be delved into.
Patrick, how much money they gonna lose with on the road? What's that side show ESPN had when they go on the road to different colleges? Because I know they're pulling out of HBCUs. They're not gonna have that First Take on the road. How much money they lose, or are they still gonna go to the European schools?
They going to European schools. Hold on.
And they told the black schools kiss our ass. We ain't coming down there.
Yeah.
But they done canceled already.
Now, there are a couple of HBCUs playing some major college football. As a matter of fact, I've already looked at some schedules because they were supposed to cut all that off about 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
now they're bringing that back. Wink, wink. Concerning some because there's some schools who take that butt kicking and take that money. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that game, if the line is 60 and it goes 59, I win some money.
Yes,
that's exactly right. Remember when Delaware State forfeit a game in their conference to accept $500,000. Now, if they do this time in this atmosphere, the price is going to be $1.5 million to do that because
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
how big the pot
mm-hmm.
is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike,
unlike my man in Harlem Knights, you will take this ass whooping personally.
Oh, they will take it personally. And
here's
they'll take it
my black
too.
Ass.
They will take it to the end of the
game. Explain this one to me, though, Patrick. When I'm looking at right now, is with these HBCUs, but I can't understand how in the ham sandwich can Alabama, Michigan, and Mississippi be 100% vaccinated, but yet the powers that be in these states are tomorrow. Don't wear a fucking mask. Don't get vaccinated. Why they
wait?
Nah, I'm not getting vaccinated. Did I miss something, Patrick?
Money.
Reg, it just shows you that for once, there's smarter people at the University of Alabama than there is in the state of Alabama.
In the state house?
Reggie, there's the killer. The killer is the kid from Quinn Ewins from Texas arrived at Ohio State
mm-hmm.
campus this week. All right? Everybody boo-hoo, Valley generous new quarterback, right? Of course, you know, the reason
he left Texas
is because of the fact that they're not allowing money to go to high school plays. Now, let's skip down the yellow brick road and go to the governor's office, who has COVID, telling everybody else not to wear a mask.
I got it from them goddamn foreigners, buddy. Don't you know I got it from them damn foreigners? Across
yeah.
the border.
Unfortunately, the foreigners are from Arkansas, but that's a whole other story.
Think about that. Now, the killer is this. In Texas, I told you, it's four things. It's God, family, and football. Not necessarily
yep.
and
don't forget cattle. Don't forget them steers now. That's running hard for. Mm-hmm. And that's what the sheep saying. Bye.
and
you know the sheep lies. You know the sheep lies.
Now the mass aspect is really going to be interesting in Texas because first of all, some fools egg mass for so long because that cattle got to be sold and that cattle got to be eaten. So all that meat money got to go through. So the governor, with his ignorant ass, gets it.
Thank you.
Some people are going to die because of the stupidity, but they're going to hit them
Guys, do you realize that the most healthiest person in Texas is basically Devo, the damn bull?
But Patrick, what about the Oakland Raiders saying you got to be 100% vaccinated to come to our home games? First game Monday night, the Raiders and the Baltimore Ravens. Unreal.
Know why?
Go,
you know why? I'm going to tell you why, Reggie. You know why, Reggie? Because the league said, we ain't forfeit no games because some fools vaccinated. We got to shut down. We ain't forfeit no games.
There you go.
We're having full houses this year.
It's amazing how athletes are more addressing health issues than the politicians. That's amazing to me.
As our Lord and Savior Roger Goodell says, there will be full houses at all games this year, and it's got nothing to do with John Stamos.
And he ain't playing.
He's gonna do like Giuliani did with the homeless people. He's gonna kill all them unvaccinated folks.
Hey Patrick, a moment of silence for Tim Tebow. Not.
Lord,
I'm sorry.
Is there somewhere where you live where you can make a bet on a game, like a betting call?
And you know something? I'm going to tell you now.
Is that me?
It should be announced. Somebody's going to announce it real soon. Somebody put a bet on Tebow, how long he lasts in the league. Somebody put that bet in.
I'm not surprised.
Did somebody do that?
Oh, my goodness.
No question.
Although, you know what's sad, guys, is you can get his jersey on Facebook.
And it's still making money.
He's a sucker born every day.
Unfortunately, his name is Pete Rose, but that's a whole other story.
There's a word that people in the lexicon will pick up on over the course of the season, and the word is handle. What is the handle? Handle is the total take of all the money that's been made. Now, they do this with racetracks all the time. That's how the numbers were created. They would take the handle of the money that was meant at the track, and those numbers were developed from
the last three numbers. So now,
whatever the handle is going to be, is going to affect outcomes of games because it'll be the sheer weight of how much money has been
made. They got Al Navison doing commercials now. How many athletes going to start doing betting?
That's right. Well,
He's doing points.com.
Look. His money's a little different, though. His money's a little different. He needs that right now.
What are you trying to say, bro? Bubba Chuck broke? You trying to say Bubba Chuck broke? Oh, no.
Look, I love Bubba Chuck. But any person that's waiting until they're 50 to get a big check from a sneakers company, he gotta prioritize it.
Now that doesn't count Daddy Ball now, does it?
But you know what? If you remember the movie The Running Man, where they were counting bets and making bets on, you know, Arnold and his other brethren as they were killing each other and stuff like that, we're going to see a lot of underground books do that. and they're gonna be making changes and bets on the fly. They're gonna have to because they have to adjust to the prop bets. So you're gonna see some ridiculous odds, and they're gonna tease you like, yeah, maybe you can hit this, but it ain't gonna happen. This is all gonna be the gambling bug, baby. It's gonna be huge money talking about, and the NFL can't talk its way out of it.
No, Mike, what they're doing in-game experience, which happened 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they talked about it. The in-game experience now is that the betting lines will be seen inside the stadium.
Exactly.
You can bet quarter by quarter, and they're going to show you the odds. The odds will be placed upon, like a MetLife Stadium. You have the highlights of the game.
That's right.
The odds of the game shown. What's sad is
we're going to be seeing Grandma in a pink Cadillac by week six.
What Washington do with his betting? Because right now, D.C. and Maryland don't have an app. Virginia's making all the money. I know damn well Dan Snyder ain't going to let that money go the first game of the season.
They're going to look at those numbers and catch up. I'll tell you that.
Fellas, some of y'all keep forgetting about this whole Washington thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, down here, we refer to the Washington team as Douglas Byrd High School. Because high school uniform looks just like Washington. There's no eagle. There's no nothing. There's no Redskins. It looked big gold numbers on maroon or whatever that color is they wear. Okay, Dan Snyder has been what? This is what, year two of this no Redskin name. Okay.
Remember, everybody,
they don't love, it's not just the name of the team and all that kind of stuff. They love the team.
Right.
When they finally come up with a mascot for that team, Mr. Snyder and that team is going to be worth billions of dollars. They're gonna sell everything from T-shirts to shit cups.
Wait, red.
Official draws, all that.
And it matter, and made money twice already.
Sure,
five times over.
And so 2 years ago.
But see,
Washington football club stuff is that right now.
He's not gonna sell the team because ain't nobody out there that can afford to buy it.
Remember,
the Donald is going to jail, so he's not gonna be able to do it.
Yeah, he can't do it anyway. But to trigger out, there are already people that want him out. The minority owners want him out now. But that's another story. But the trick is, what Gary, you're saying about Washington, everything you say, it has validity because the basic thing and the most important thing, they might have a winning team.
That's right.
Even with Colin Ferguson at quarterback?
This is one factor that has not been considered. You got to remember this, guys. Back in the late 50s, Leonard Toews owned the Philadelphia Eagles. He lost the Eagles because he was a gambler. You know, people forget this, but Toews, because remember, you saw those trucks on the highway, Toews, that was his company. He lost money because he was gambling big time. And the money in comparison now probably wouldn't be a lot, but he bet enough so that he lost control and he had to sell the team. You know, no NFL owner is going to sell their team because they need the money. This is how much money we're talking about.
Yes. Mike, I have forgotten. What is Daniel Snyder's other business?
I don't know.
I can't remember what his other business was.
No, I don't know.
Tony, let me tell you something. I was explaining this a while back to a guy who's one of these white guys who basically says it under Rappaport's question that this nigga's making too much money. But I had to kill him when I said, you know, a group of guys from Silicon Valley bought the Golden State Warriors for $450 million. He was talking about the contract that Steph Curry got for his second contract for $200 million. And this is what I told him. I said, well, they bought for $250 million, right? They've had three championships. They have now gotten to the point where they built their own stadium with their own money, not taxpayers' money. Only taxpayers' money is to get the roads to come to the place. Now that team is worth close to $6.5 billion. Okay, so giving him two contracts of $200 million is nothing from what they can get. The big thing is, that's a lot of money. Yeah, it's a lot of money because the businesses that these guys are in, only team that have a corporate entity is like the Giants and the Chicago Bears. The family owns us. Like the Packers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Cincinnati Bengals,
and the New York Giants.
And New York Giants, because these guys are so invested in other business, what they get and for the teams, what probably might make from the team, and not but a tax write-off for what they get, because I think I told you this last week, the profit for the team this year from a pandemic went up 14%. They give it all that money in other businesses.
Damn.
They'll clear just from the season ticket holders, and the TV money and like the NFL properties money. They get all of that before a down is even played.
We're talking a whole fucking stampede. Let's make it clear. This is Hefferville, man.
The first week. When they kick the ball off, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
That's right. Yep.
So,
no doubt.
Please.
Tony, just to correct what you were saying, it's more about whether or not they play or not, because those monies are already in place. Those monies are guaranteed.
They make it look good.
Just like the Fab Five conferences last year, they made it look good. Excuse me, by playing, but the money was already in. You know, money. All they had to do was do a replay of a major game.
The numbers will skyrocket in New Jersey, in Nevada, in Pennsylvania, anywhere where there's gaming now. That's going to be your growth industry. Sad to say, but that's the truth. We're at the point now where it is time for everybody to throw down on final thoughts. I appreciate everybody coming in and dropping wisdom on everybody. Reggie, lead off.
Yes,
sir. Please.
You know, it's kind of interesting that the Cincinnati Bengals under Marvin Lewis, maybe didn't win the playoff game, but they was pretty profitable. You saw the changes that Marvin Lewis made with Mr. Brown. But it's kind of funny now that some people say that the Cincinnati Bengals are broke. They can't even pay bonuses. And people want to know what the ham sandwiches these people are doing. But on the sad note, the young tennis star from China broke down this past week in an interview when it came to talking about Haiti. And it was some clown, I believe, from Ohio that say, you know what?
Yeah.
You need to understand something there, you yellow, black, negro. You are glad that the media built you up. And weren't for the media, you wouldn't get all this attention. Man, I know white supremacy runs rough, but again, I ask the question. It's amazing how they put more promise and more attention on athletes as being more respectable and stand up to God, mom, apple pie than politicians. I guess
Reg,
that's why all the players are vaccinated.
Reg, let me add something to that, Reggie. That's also was induced by her agent coming out asking about the question.
Yes.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. That's right. And Naomi's from Japan.
Naomi, yeah. That's great, great, yeah.
Mm.
Naomi in Japan is gonna come out. Better be careful because when that Japanese country comes out, you better run.
She already made a point when she won the tournament when she had those seven masks for the black people who had been murdered. You know, she wins the tournament and they squashed it immediately. They didn't want to say anything. Press conference was muted. You know, but she did what she did. She made the point. We respect Naomi for that. We wish her well, and we don't want her to end up in a fucking nut house because the pressure is tightening on everyone in every sport. Patrick, throw something in the pot.
I got the information. It's out there. But look out. If you think the aspect of Oklahoma and Texas is there's non-negotiations of not joining the league, but they're going to do something together. If nothing else, discussing differently of the ACC, Pac-12, and the Big Ten.
The three wise men.
Reg,
there's a little more than three. There's some three leagues there, you know.
that just rolled off my tongue.
I got you.
When I heard about it, I reached out to the two people I know who would be in the inside. They said, they're not talking about merging the league, but they're going to do something to offset whatever Oklahoma and Texas does.
You know they
are.
You know they are.
Well, Mike, this can only mean one thing.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
A group orgy. A group orgy. That's the only thing that I can say.
That's right. Great. What's
orgy,
baby?
I believe
we
need to say something crazy.
That's right. These are draws
at the door. And you know what? And Mike, knowing them greedy bastards, they'll put it on pay-per-view, too, on top of that.
Tony, everybody
going to
get some.
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
You sound like a bitter Mets fan.
That's an oxymoron if I ever heard one. Bitter Mets fan.
Well, you know what? Since Tony and Patrick brought it up, here's a question that's going to sit in the air like old drawers for a little while. How long will it take before the Super Bowl becomes a pay-per-view event?
They're fighting it because of the fact that there was a deal made years ago, and this came directly from Paul Tagliabue. When I did a piece with him about 10 years ago, he said that question was come up then. When's it going to be paid? He said that's not ever going to happen because the politicians and the pressure on the public to make that happen might be too much. That's what he said.
Okay.
So they may close. So if that happens, We're looking at another January insurrection if that should happen, Mike, I guess.
You ain't lying, Tony.
I'm serious. You ain't lying.
Mm-hmm.
Professor, come on in and throw something in the pot, please.
Well, first and foremost, let's keep what's really important out front. We have a group of young men and women who are, as we speak, moving into harm's way in Afghanistan, this whole Taliban thing. So let's keep them all.
Oh, man.
Also,
yeah, absolutely.
in the western part of the state of North Carolina and up all the way up into Virginia, there are, I think last count, there are 35 people missing from the flooding from the storm in the last 24 hours. You ain't lived, you know, it was one thing to see one of those freight boxes floating down the river, followed mm-hmm. by a house. And it's sobering to watch that. We got a lot of very serious things going on out there, but
mm-hmm.
there's also some fun. We're gonna see some over the next 2 weeks. We're gonna see some changes, some things that ain't been seen before. I mentioned the other night on another show that I've already committed myself to not going to any Florida games. Texas and Georgia. I got. Because I mean, this is pure lunacy. And my thing, you know, although I know the governor of Georgia or Florida cannot withhold money from individual employees mm-hmm. because that is against the law. If he tried, mm-hmm. he's violating the law. He's actually violating federal law. But
mm-hmm.
I digress. But my thing is, there are not enough people on either side in both states to stand up and slap the hell out of these fools for this nonsense mm-hmm. that they're putting out
mm-hmm.
there.
That's right.
And we're setting it up for a group of young people to come that's coming behind us who ain't gonna
mm-hmm.
know which way is up. And when they fall into dire straits, they're not gonna know what to do. And it's up to us
that's
to
right.
teach them. We got to tell our story. We got to continue to tell our story. I'm doing that. I'm going to put, I guess, 2 more hours in tonight on the book
mm-hmm.
on women's basketball. We'll be posting up a pre-sale in the next couple of weeks, depending on Mr. Moore's help, and we're going to work from there. So, you know, you can reach us at www.blackheritage.com.
Yep.
It's time. We're coming into football season. So if you don't mm-hmm. have your encyclopedia, which has the history of HBCU football, you need to order now at www.blackheritagereview.com.
There you go. The word is out.
Is Fred still there?
Yeah, I think he is.
Fred, Fred, just let you know, a big props forever because you're born on the same day as my daddy.
It was a great day.
There you go.
I mean, everything else just kind of fall in place after that day.
You ain't wrong.
Like a true man.
Listen, in my immediate family, there are 6 of us that were born between August 1st and September 1st. My sister will be 90 years old on the 1st
God
of
bless.
September. And
God
she has
bless.
Heard most of my life, she has heard that, you know, it took all that to get it right. But then I came along on August 8th. 888, which was a fertilizer. I said, no, that's us. Because, see, if you add 8 and 5-3 together, you got 888. So all the gamblers go play that number.
That's an Asian thing. Asians love the number 8. They put them on license plates in their houses. 8 is lucky to them. Having said that, Travis, whatever number has been lucky for us to have you come back on tonight.
Good
talk. Give us some wisdom
as
you're out. Stay
right. Travis, happy up in you, man.
Well, I was born in 1988, so the year 88, we're going to throw that in.
He's such a youngin.
Oh yeah.
I remember 88. I was working in 88.
I should have thrown that out there. Y'all starting to reminisce on here.
Hey, look, my youngest daughter was born in 88.
It was a good year.
I watched Kill Bill. I watched Kill Bill with the Crazy 88s last night. Does that count for him?
That counts. That's flowing and whatnot.
What you got to say?
I kind of wanted to bounce off Professor Fred. He's talking about the heritage with the women's basketball. Candace Parker was just named the first women's basketball player to be on a NBA/WNBA video game. So that was a huge honor for her.
Amen.
So they're trying to promote that equality. You know what I'm saying? And they moving forward. So that just happened. But she's gonna be on the cover of
the first female coach in the men's league. The young lady from San Antonio.
Becky Hammond. Yeah, she's gonna
hopefully get a shot next year.
Can I ask you a question? I heard the sneaker money is down this year than in the past for the rookies.
It is. Yeah, for sure. They got to show and prove now. Ain't no more Zion coming around. You know what I'm saying? They gave Zion Luka, and they done gave him the whole hook. Zion's the first person I know that got a shoe the second year in his league. That says it by itself. You know what I'm saying? So Jordan.
Are you counting whole years or partial years?
I mean, that was a partial year in my opinion. Yeah, you're right.
Did that go to Professor with shots? Fine.
I think Jordan Brand gave him about 60 million.
His parents went to an HBCU, but he went to a PWI, so he doesn't have protection.
Obviously, he didn't have protection because his shoe blew out in that game.
Yes,
he hauled it out.
I mean, but my thing is, he could have been the one to catapult the HBCU movement too, you know, and really he could have been the one to really shift the power. I feel like if he would have went to HBCU instead of Duke, but you know, when that sneaker money, that money calling, and then you got Coach K calling, and
that alleged money. His parents are graduates of the same school that Kiana Hayes went to, so, and it's a church school, so let's watch it.
Livingstone.
Matter of fact, his mother ran track for Livingstone.
Okay. Keep an eye on those bank accounts, y'all.
Y'all keep a lookout for Mikey Williams. I think he's gonna be the first big name high school player to go to an HBCU.
Okay. Interesting.
Mikey Williams. He getting recruited by Duke, Kentucky.
Is that the kid that's a sophomore was on the Sports Illustrated magazine?
Yeah. Yep. He's looking at Hampton right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit.
That's a good story.
Yeah, you're looking at him, right? And I've been over the past couple of years, I've been kind of in his back pocket, just talking to him, giving him guidance and stuff. You know, he'll talk to me every now and then and stuff.
You got that book we sent you there, young man? You got that book we sent you to Professor Rowe, right?
Of course.
All right. Matter of fact, Professor, let me know
when the pre-orders go up. I'll post it on all my social media and make sure that we tell our own story. You know, I think
that's where we at.
So let's make that happen.
We'll do.
I'm gonna try to get on here every Wednesday. You know, I got an easy schedule on Wednesday, so I'm gonna try to make it a point to get back in the swing of things.
We appreciate that.
Take care of the family, Travis. Take care of the family. Yeah,
they always gonna be taken care of. You know, they always take care of the family.
Good hair, man.
Oh, you already know. I'm gonna be around.
All right, fam.
Hey, one last thing. Let me throw mine in there. Hold up. I got a shoe coming out in October. It's gonna be called SR1s. They coming out in October, so I gotta get all y'all sizes. And then on top of that, I got my debut album.
You're dropping an album on us now?
I'm dropping an album as well the same day. the same day. So the sneakers and the album the same day.
Oh,
October 19th. October 19th.
That's marketing, buddy. That's marketing.
October 19th. It's the start of the NBA season. October 19th.
Somewhere, Roland Rogers is crying right now. He's
crying. You know,
he's so proud of me. Roland's so proud of me.
Hey, it's called post-game interview.
Yeah.
All right.
Man.
There you go.
There
you
go.
Like that. You
13 extra wide, please.
I got you. I need all the stars and I need the address.
Did I say 12? Yes,
no
I said
problem.
12.
You'll get them.
Fred, we don't got nothing for Steeler fans. Sorry. But anyway.
That's okay. We got rings.
Don't start me. He's talking about the Steelers now. It's too late to talk about the Steelers. They're going to bed.
Another
shot fired.
The views expressed on this show are not necessarily advertising.
Mike Tomlin on line three.
Somebody might be in the locker room recording.
Hey man, Mike worried about his Claypool got a camera in the locker room right now. He ain't worried about you.
I know that shit, Jay.
Damn, Travis, you've been having the big dog. Travis, you've been rolling on the board. Travis, rolling with the big dog.
Boy, you're big
one, Alvin. You think you can own the whole world there, don't you?
Yeah,
hey, make sure y'all send me y'all five. I'll get y'all five and I'll get it to you.
Got you.
I'll make sure I get y'all to get y'all sides in the album.
Why do I bring this up?
Why do you bring this up?
I was trying to be nice to Professor Fred.
Rose, the New York Yankees, you went by, and the Boston Red Sox. Now, the Oakland A's is in the middle of this mix. Only two of the three go make it. So we will see at the end of the season which one of the three go make it.
Interesting. You ain't wrong.
That's true.
They have a goal in 2 weeks.
All right.
We have the disabled Gosler.
All right.
Labor Day, the Denver will be Ray Charles, Dean Wonder, Kenny Vindegrass, Curtis Mayfield, and the Cowboys of Mississippi, Alabama.
Wow.
That's a full meal deal. We like that. Coming up in 2 weeks, T-Mac, what you got?
From the show business capital of the world, Lincoln, Nebraska. The University of Nebraska has announced that the NCAA is looking into its football program after a report said that the Cornhusker staff improperly used analysts and consultants with the knowledge of Coach Scott Frost and even moved workouts off campus last year when such activities were banned during the pandemic. Quote, Nebraska Athletic Director Trev Albert, fuck.
Stay tuned indeed.
Well, Mike, as we were told as kids, you know the N on Nebraska stands for knowledge.
Yeah, how about that?
Wait, Tony, he might go with Scott Frost to fight Scott Frost Mike.
just what they need for another 4-7 season.
Exactly. To be continued for real, and this time no playoff game or bowl game. Having said that, you know there's going to be money spent. We know somebody might blow the rent, but as long as this gambling thing is here, there's going to be very few people to repent. They've opened up Pandora's box, Hope, Faith, Charity, all them holes. They're out the box. It's all in front of you now. The
not
control
the
of that depends on human beings. And you know we're not going to see a 1-800 gambler statement come out. Having said that, tomorrow night,
they will.
That's right. Tomorrow night, the Blueberry Tea Special, an iced blueberry tea affair, classic R&B tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Saturday, of course, the stir fry, 2 p.m., followed by Gary Norris Gray and the Great Abacova in 2 weeks. But for now, everybody, please, once you get from A to B and back to A-OK, wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your back.
Not necessarily all in that same order.
Vera, you know we tally up at 4 o'clock. What is your problem?
Kiss my ass, sugar. I've got to watch my girls until the last trick is gone. And I'm not about to ask no customer to roll over so I can punch some goddamn clock. Now, this is your place, but I am in charge of the girls. And you just kiss my ass.
Oh, baby, please.
I'm going to do that.
So, baby, how are we doing?
We made about 200.
200? Your girls been back there all night. How they only make $200?
You kiss my ass quick. I don't never say nothing to you when the crap table and the bar come up short.
Because the bar and the crap table never come up short, just the girls.
Uh-oh. Now, calm down, Vera.
Kiss my ass, sugar. I want to know what it is Quick is trying to say.
I ain't trying to say shit. You in charge of the girls, right?
I am in charge of the girls.
Are you in charge of the girls?
I am in charge of the girls.
Okay, the girls are always coming up short, all right? Let's get the shit out in the open. The girls are always coming up short. Even when the place is packed, the girls come up short. Now, either you or them got a problem with their arithmetic.
Are you saying I'm stealing?
The man didn't say you were stealing, Vera. Now, come on over and sit down and shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck up, Benny. I would tell you to kiss my ass, too, but you probably can't find it, you blind motherfucker.
Fuck you, bitch.
Me and you got to step out there.
Hey, it was just a misunderstanding.
No, it ain't. It ain't no misunderstanding. Quick just accused me of stealing. And if you're going to take up for Quick in here, we can all be some fighting motherfuckers in here this evening. Bring your ass. Bring it on. Come on. Bring your ass. Come on, get up and come on, motherfucker.
I
want to see Quick
getting
his little bitch ass.
I want to see this too. Come on, Quick. All right, bitch, you want a fight? We can fight then. You fat motherfucker, I'm tired of your shit.
Just bring your
ass. I'm going to beat the shit out of your ass. Who you want? Oh, Jesus. No, no,
louder,
no, 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 no,
louder,
no,
louder, louder.
No, 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 no,
oh, man.
Come on. Come on.
Oh, come on, Vera. Don't you want to talk about that?
I ain't got nothing to say. You done insulted me, and I got to kick your ass right now. And afterwards, I don't want no hard feelings either.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Ain't nothing wrong with me. What the fuck is wrong with you? You done accused me of stealing. The only thing I'm stealing out here today is your face.
You're your fucking mind?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, sucker. Let's get it on.
Oh, you want to fight? You want to fight? Well, then come on, goddammit. You been fucking me since I'm going to beat the shit out of your old ass in this motherfucker, too. Yeah, yeah. You have to punch people in their eyes, right? Right? Bitch, that's all you got? Yeah, you didn't think it was going to be like that, right? And now I'm going to blast your motherfucking teeth out.
Nigga, you hit like a bitch.
Oh, you little slow than you thought, ain't you, huh? Yeah. I punch like a bitch, huh? Okay. I punch like a bitch? You'll say goodnight to this bitch right now.
You're gonna have to learn to respect me. And the next time you accuse me of stealing, I'm going to kick your ass again.
You crazy bitch.
Oh, you want to hit people with garbage cans. Now I got to cut you.
Better put that razor away. I ain't playing no more. You put that fucking razor away, I'm going to blow your goddamn pinky toe off.
Oh, now you're going to shoot me in my pinky toe.
I'm not playing with you. I will blow that little black, gnarled, crusty, dead motherfucker the fuck off your foot. Now put the razor away.
You must be crazy to pull your gun on me.
You're going to be the nine-toe having this limping this bitch in Harlem. You don't stop fucking with me. Now put the razor away.
Well, go ahead. Shoot in here. Stand here. Shoot. Quick, go ahead. Take your best shot.
You didn't have to shoot that old lady in the foot, man.
Sugar, she was trying to kill me.
She wasn't trying to kill you. She was just trying to scare you.
That's bullshit. The bitch pulled a razor out and was going to cut me with it. I usually kill somebody over some shit like that. I don't even want to talk about it no more.
You whipped your ass.
Fuck you, man.
And if you didn't have that gun, she'd still be whipping your ass.
You know, y'all laugh at the wrong shit.
Shut me in my pinky toe.
I know, man.
I'm going to put what's left of my foot in your ass. I'm going to kill him, Sugar.
Please, be careful.
I'm
going to
kill him out.
Don't
just
kill him. Just like relax.
Move. I'm going to get up from here.
Sarah, we're going to find your toe. You got to stop overreacting.
Overreacting?
Yes.
Then get your old ass in the car.
Oh, man, fuck you. Next time you fight somebody, pick on somebody your own size. Get in there.
Vera, we promise we'll find your toe. Everybody go safe, stay safe, be safe. Good night.